So, hello and welcome to the Hedonistic Way Show. I am Renee Main, and today I'm really excited because we're going to venture into our confession series, which is where a whole bunch of beautiful women are invited in to this space to be able to share their deepest, darkest, naughtiest, most intimate secrets and desires that they have within us. And the intention of that is really to just normalize desires and fantasies and how we want to experience love and intimacy and the ripple effect that that has in our lives. And once we do that, we honor that aliveness and we create safe spaces to in order to speak to this and communicate this, then we can really have a different experience with our journey with self-trust, knowing that we're not alone in this journey and we can really begin to connect with others in an intimate space through resonance, through our desires. So I welcome to the show, Shally. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So, Shally, I know your beautiful heart and have done for quite a while now. I would love just to hand it over to you and just say, what is it that is alive in you that you would love to confess
Yes.
today?
Thanks for the invitation. I appreciate that, Renee. Thank you. It's not often to be invited to talk about those things that are really at the core of who I am and who I'm choosing to be. Ultimately, it comes down to this phrase that I've been working with for years, and I will continue to because I love it. And that's know thyself, like know myself. Such a beautiful exploration and journey for me. It can be. It can feel a little bit thrilling, sometimes a little bit scary in exploring new aspects of who I am and who I want to be, in enjoying life more. So I'm wondering where I might start with this. I think initially feeling safe within myself would mean being with myself in intimate ways, behind closed doors. Whether it's with candles, music, my own technique of self-pleasure, and going from there. And I think going from there for me has meant, okay, I feel safe enough in my own space to now explore with other people. And as I said to you earlier, for me is recognizing that I'm not a one-person person. And in a society where monogamy is well and truly accepted, to talk about something other than monogamy or non-monogamy or what I describe as polyamory or loving more than one person at a time, it can be challenging to talk about that. So in a sense, that's a confession, isn't it?
Yeah,
To
absolutely.
be able to share that with other people. Currently, I'm not in a relationship except with myself, and I'm really enjoying that since I'm studying, working, I've got young ch children, teenagers, and so forth. But it's been a beautiful journey for me to explore myself and also find other people that are similarly what I might call wired or choosing this type of lifestyle. And also, I'm really honest with my children that this is a journey for me, that letting them know that there are other ways to do relationships. I have myself experienced, and many people I know have experienced broken relationships or marriages. And simply wanting a way of doing life and relationships that is even more fulfilling. And marriage is great, and I loved being married, and then it wasn't great, and then it didn't work, and so forth. So I haven't completely wiped off those options, but looking at knowing myself and what is fulfilling to me, that one person in my life, wanting all of me all the time wasn't working for me because I was continually exploring more of who I am, and being with people that are also doing that was, in a sense, what kept on encouraging me to keep on exploring myself. I'll just take a pause there, and if you wanted to
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you then, how did you feel in, and I mean, obviously you would have felt differently at different times, but when you speak to that, like for you, it almost feels like being in a monogamous relationship feels limiting, like you feel stifled in that.
I think perhaps it was more about being with a person or people that are curious and wanting to explore and discover more about themselves. It's not taking away from monogamy so much as realizing that different ways of doing life don't necessarily apply to everybody, you see. So it's never a negative on a relationship that really just wants all of me. It's just that I knew I couldn't do that. And it's not about hiding any parts of me either. It's that constant exploration and curiosity for some people that just want something else. They want just the one person. They want stability. What they call stability and security for them felt like sameness to me. I felt a bit, I felt stifled. So it's never that person is wrong or I'm wrong. It's this isn't a great match.
Yeah, for sure. For
Yeah.
sure. I would love to know, you spoke to speaking to your kids about different ways to relate and that you're solo now, but you're also polyamorous. I feel like, we hear a, well, it depends on what spaces you're in, but a lot of people talk about polyamory, but not necessarily solo polyamory. Like it's, we hear about it often, I think, as couples that are in an open relationship, but not necessarily what it looks like for a solo woman. So I would love for you to speak to that if possible.
Sure. For me, and obviously, I make meaning for me. So what I'm about to say is not necessarily, a definition, as you might like to, some people might like a definition, but I'm not doing that here. Is that I have I have as a mom, and I'm working and studying, I have the freedom to interact and be really upfront and honest with people that I'm interacting with, who I am, how I'm being, how I'm showing up. And it assists those people, I guess, to realize that I belong to me, and there is no claim to be had on myself as it doesn't mean that I'm not committed to interacting with other individuals. It just means that all of me belongs to me. And so when I'm interacting with other people, with a lover, for example, when I'm with them, I'm with them. And they know that, and I'm committed in that space. And when I'm in my home or with my children, I'm with them. So I think for me, the way that I could clarify it is my presence. I give my presence in those moments. Particularly when I'm connected with, whether it's with my children or with a lover, there are interactions. I don't know if you've felt this. Sometimes it feels like you have this ethereal sort of thread where occasionally this person might come to my mind and I'll shoot them a text and it's very meaningful. So the depth of the connection is there, but the freedom to move through those connections is a bit more fluid.
For sure.
That's the first
Sure.
time I've expressed it like that. I hope that came across okay.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely. I think that's beautiful, and that's, there's a real openness, and you spoke to presence, and I feel like that is so often missed, and overlooked, So,
And I
yeah, I
think it
think
could be that we get a bit heady. We get a bit into that thinking space of, is this person really committed to me? I just want them. We talk about fantasy, but I think we're really not fantasizing when we do that. We're just repeating a historical blueprint, perhaps, of what a relationship might or might not look like. So, whether that's, relating from day to day, or I catch up with somebody once a month, or whatever that might be, there's a lot more fluidity. And I think honesty as well. It's like I feel really happy and honest to be able to say to, for example, I have a delicious friend in a town an hour or so away, and we catch up on a regular basis. Pardon me, but it's not, oh, let's do our Saturday night thing. It's, how's your week going? Shall we catch up next week? And the honesty is, I'm actually really busy this week. It's not gonna, oh, let's make it another week. So there's that less of a pressure. And when you're present, you can completely be present, which for me is really, really important when I have a schedule and a life that is pretty full already, to be able to have that space where I can just pull away from all those things, but also be present to another individual. Yeah. And also, it gives me space to talk about actual intimate fantasies that we can interplay together.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Which is something that I would love to hear about. So I would love to hear about, you speak to, like playing and and actually creating and doing these whatever play it is. I would love to know and hear about your journey with the unfurling of you think it from going from an idea like I have this desire to actually fulfilling it and experiencing it because most people will just have it and try to shut it down. So I would love to hear about some of your fantasies, but also as what the emotional and mental process from it going just from an idea or a desire to actually experiencing it.
Yeah, for sure. What a great question. And we probably won't be able to cover off on it all in this session, but I have to go back to what I said when we first started, and that was know yourself. And to be able to be, most people understand this terminology, to be a container for yourself, like to feel safe within your own body. And as I said, behind my own closed door is to do things and enjoy things with myself. So I set up my space with candles, with music. And I'm preparing myself to be that intimate partner to myself. And even that concept may actually challenge some people. It's like, really? So I've talked and interacted with men and women about this, and I've found that this is not a scientific finding, but I've found that more men are more aware of their how to bring pleasure to themselves than women. And so I've often encouraged women. Because it's something that I do for myself. And so from idea to conception, it's often by myself. And then I imagine doing and being that with another person. And what I've found is people are astounded at how easy it is to be at peace and at in a place of comfort with yourself, to bring your intimate self with another person and say just a simple, would you like to try this with me? The honesty of that and the simplicity of that and the uncomplicatedness of that has really brought forth those opportunities for me. That you can think about things, you can fantasize about things, and perhaps even having a phrase like that ready, whether you're with your husband, wife, or lover, or whatever, is to be ready and say, well, actually, I'd like to try this. Would you like to try that? Because in asking women over the years through some businesses that I've been doing, is that I've heard, complaints about intimacy and, oh, my husband won't do that, or I couldn't do that. And said, okay, well, think about what would you do? What could you do? And how would that feel? And try it out on yourself. These are the things that I've done, I guess, in answering your question. So then I have the confidence to bring that when I'm with a lover or intimate person. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Was there, do you want me to speak more on that, or was there something else?
I would love to just hear about some of your fantasies.
Yeah.
What, you know, so maybe they're past fantasies that you've experienced. Maybe there's, you know, and maybe the different experiences that you want to venture into and experience. What, like, is there an edge for you, you know? So just, yeah, honoring whatever is alive and whatever you want to speak to.
Again, I would go back to my edge is often when I'm on my own. And so if I bring that, when I bring that to a lover, it doesn't have to be accepted. It doesn't have to be something that they want to do. And I'm finding that curiosity and exploration can take some time for people to embrace. So, setting the scene is always fantastic. And so when I'm interacting, it could be through photos, it could be through conversations, short texts. And that might be as simple as I find it hot when. And you get a conversation going, or when we were together last, the way that you touched me, and being really specific about that. Or I would love it if we could explore da, da, da. So I could be really specific, but it's probably not necessarily that helpful. And this is what I've found in planting thoughts or ideas about a specific thing that I really love, because it might be not something that someone else loves. For example, talking about using toys, or talking about different positions, or talking about multiple people enjoying intimacy together, or even talking about anal sex. These things can be quite challenging to even think about for people. Whereas for me, none of those things are an issue. So that's why I don't necessarily go into detail. When I'm talking about what my pleasure is, I can talk about it on a general level and then very, very specifically with my lovers. So I would just encourage people to develop their own exploration and discovery. And those things that, like, if I've said something today that people go, oh, I couldn't do that, or I haven't had a great experience on that, then that's probably the area to start and do some good research on it and ask some really gentle questions of yourself, because life is here for us to enjoy and explore. And as you're talking about the edges, like, that's where I feel I grow the most. And it used to be a place of scariness, where it's now it's a place of, ooh, I wonder. You know, it's that awe and wonder place.
We
So
know.
I'm not so much, it's not really about excitement. It's more about that calm stepping towards it, going, okay, what do I need to do to explore this and enjoy this and expand myself in this place?
Yeah, absolutely. I really love when you speak to that, there is approaching it with calmness because in this space and within sexuality, you know, we're so used to rushing and that adrenaline and that the we want to feel more, so we go faster and faster, and then the expectations that we put on other people can be quite huge. So approaching it with calmness, I think that is the word regulated, you know, kind of comes to mind, is it's really honoring and that self-regulation as well. I want to ask you, we hear a lot, you know, inside our spaces about, so, say, for example, a partner having a desire and then the partner having no interest whatsoever. How would you then navigate that particularly if it's in a monogamous scenario? Like, what does that look like in approaching it with calmness?
Well, you've already set the scene that one wants to explore. Is that what you're saying? And another one doesn't necessarily want to? I think there's still room for the individual that wants to explore to do that. And they don't necessarily need permission. I mean, I personally, in a partnership, if I was in a partnership like that, actually bringing the topic up and saying, this is something I want to explore, and the other person saying, I don't want to, it's something that the couple would possibly need to navigate and come back to a few times. But yeah, again, it could be something they can explore on their own. I mean, it really depends. I've got a few other options, and I have suggested to some people that I've worked with in the past, there are places you can go, right, where you can explore safely with other people with a similar mindset. And so I'd probably suggest that if they need a safe place to do that, then there are places to go and people that will interact with that, and as open as your relationship needs to be as you traverse that pathway. Yeah, there is a way forward. So, but I couldn't give clear cut directions because every situation is different. Just continuing to explore that conversation and have some ideas and these resources available to you to make to choices and decisions, I think is really, really helpful. It's not always a quick fix.
No, goodness no.
Yeah. I mean, look, your relationship, and it sounds to me like, you're able to talk with your person about things and explorations. So you've probably got some advice there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm in a monogamous relationship, and I think communication has been so important. And for us, it's been like, it's been okay, I want to try this. And then there's been times where it's like, no, hell no, that's like a hard no.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, I'm just gonna like put it out there and give it time, give it space. And then, sometimes it's I forget about it and it's not even a thing. And other times he'll be like, yeah, I think I might be ready for that now.
Yes.
So I think that it's just like time to digest it, to think
Yes.
about it. It wasn't something that, we may have wanted to experience. However, it's like, oh, okay, once we get time to, talk about it and just give it some air time, then sometimes it can be something that, that is then a hell yes, and sometimes it's still a we've both forgotten about it.
Right
So,
on. Yep.
yeah, which I really love. And other times it's like, well, not really this, but it could be something totally, something a little bit a softer version of it, or
Yes.
something else. So I
Yeah.
really love that. So I think that, and you spoke to it a lot, is that openness, just approaching it with a real openness and curiosity. And you might have a particular fantasy or desire in place, but once you actually talk about it, then it can become something else that feels good for both parties.
Yeah, for sure. And I was listening to a podcast this morning about, well, the fact the statistic was that 2005 was really the first time the physiology and anatomy of women's sexual organs was put out there publicly. I mean, 2005. Wow, that wasn't that long ago. And
No.
so for us as women, understanding our anatomy, our physiology, what we like, what we don't like, in itself can be the simplest exploration and discovery, and no shame there. When I was a child, I mean, I've just turned 55, very, very happy to be this age and loving it, is, well, as a child, I did not know so much about my body. And so later on in life, probably around my 40s, was when I really began to wake up to, my goodness, I have a lifetime of pleasure moving forward. So I'm going to explore that to whatever level I want to, I choose to. So it's early days for all of us, really,
Yeah,
both
true.
men and women and people of all genders and statuses, to go, well, it's really okay to explore these things and be comfortable with that. So yeah, having those conversations along the way and seeing where that takes us without, well, to me, there is no limits.
Absolutely. It's beautiful.
I think too, there's other things in our society that, we're trying to keep ourselves safe in different boxes, work, family, the environment, nature. There's a lot of what I would call cognitive dissonance. And so when we come up against that, when somebody presents a new idea or something they want to explore, we may automatically go to that instead of going, well, hang on. And you've mentioned it too about nervous system regulation and understanding ourselves and what triggers us and even, past traumas. So I would never suggest to anybody to jump into exploration unless you really feel you're ready for that, in the sense that, again, it comes back to your own personal internal safety mechanisms. Are you ready to explore those things that perhaps you've never considered? And if somebody brings a suggestion or an idea, and first instant it's repulsive to you, take a moment to go, what, why would that repulse me? What is it about that that it triggers me?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to switch gears, and before we started, we pressed record on this podcast. You were talking about suicide and mental health, and and how that can, feed into desire and everything like that. I would really love to open up the space for you to speak to that, because I think it's an area that a lot of people, it's not spoken about. And so I would love to hear your thoughts, your experience. What do you have to share around that?
Well, thanks for that again, the invitation. The first thought is that in this topic that we're talking about, in exploration, in fantasy, intimacy, I think there's a bit of taboo around it. And we're getting there. We really
Little
are.
bit.
And the fact that we're talking about it here publicly is pretty cool, right? And there'll be people that listen in that, perhaps for the first time, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I could do that. On the other hand, as well, suicidality and awareness and prevention is, well, it's just the statistics are crazy, not just Australia, but worldwide. I interacted the other day with a fellow student in the classroom who, a mother of young teenagers and one of their classmates, suicided last week. And it was a privilege to be present to her story and the story of how those young ones are navigating that. And talking about it from the tragedy of it is tough. So I did a presentation last night in another class about suicide awareness and prevention, because I think it's good to talk about it not just when it's a tragedy. Like talking about intimacy, not just when you're in the bedroom, not just when you're in a state of intimacy, you talk about it
Absolutely.
in the kitchen, in the laundry, and we're going for a walk in the park and things like that. So it's about that awareness around thought patterns. Look, I'm also doing some study on how our culture and our mentality is what we might say contagious. Like you can catch some thought patterns from those that you hang out with around. So if you're
Oh, for
down at the
sure.
supermarket or at the service station or at work, being aware of those signals that are coming. Now, it might be called telepathy, it might be called something like that, but we're humans and we connect in ways that perhaps we haven't been aware of or talked about so much in the past. And so this is why knowing ourself is so important. Like it's not about protection. It's not about, oh, get away from me because you could be thinking something that I don't want to think. It's just thought patterns, right? Patterns of thought. We are in this world today because of patterns of thought, and patterns of thought become actions. And there's no need to be afraid of that, but it's, as an individual human being, I make choices that affect me and those around me. And therefore, these other humans that are walking by me and doing their thing also are influencing us. So, It's recognizing what we would call that metacognition, is knowing what we're thinking about. So thinking about what we're thinking about. Oh, I was just having that thought. And recognizing, oh, that thought might be, I'm going to text my son to remind him, da da da. You know, like you got a text from your daughter. Or it's just that a presence and awareness about yourself and your environment around you. Just help me to get back on track here. I feel like I've lost the thread there for a second.
We're talking about suicide and mental health, desire, fantasies. What's the intersection there? And just really honoring what's alive in you.
Beautiful. So coming back to that, yes, imagination is the first thing that I'm reminded of, is that when somebody gets stuck in a particular thought pattern that may lead to suicidal ideations, is how do we support that person? And it's often that it's a thought pattern that keeps on repeating. You know, a belief really is that thought pattern that we just keep repeating. And so how do we change a thought pattern that is so repetitive? Because we're walking in a rut now. And I do work with people online in a three-session series that helps, people to understand that they can use their imagination in a powerful way. And I don't mean imagining something that cannot exist. I mean imagining and creating a life and a way of thinking that will serve you, serve the individual. And it's not the type of thinking that we're taught in school. You know, it's about understanding our core beliefs and how they serve us. And if they don't serve us, how do we shift that? And it's about shifting the thinking. It's about deep imagining. And it's about seeing in our mind's eye something else. And I think that sometimes people get so stuck in their thinking, they cannot see outside of that. That idea of, I can't do this anymore. I'm no good. I don't have a purpose. I'm not sure why I'm here. And so then they go down that road. And you can see even that style of thinking where it sends you. And so utilizing the thinking process as well as the imagination, which is not necessarily a thinking, is being in a state of intention, which there are differences. And yeah, that's for another topic, because intentioning is not necessarily about thinking. It's about knowing yourself. It's about being a creator, and moving with more a sense of flow.
For sure.
I love this. I love this style of talking about things, because it helps us again to explore the more of what we thought we knew. We think we know about
Absolutely.
thinking. We think we know about the unknown. And all those topics, as you say, if we can approach them in a calm way and go, oh, I haven't kind of been into my imagination that deeply lately, or I've been so focused on other things that I didn't realize I could go down those thought patterns or pathways. Yeah.
Absolutely,
But it's actually very
absolutely.
easy and such a gracious way of being with us, with self, that I am so excited when I have a client come and they go, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could create my own reality in that way from inside this space of self and then manifest it out there. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, particularly when you're in, and I don't think we realize often how much of a loop we're in and a rut we're in sometimes. And those conscious or unconscious, actually, thought patterns. I wanted to ask you, when someone is in a rut and to create, to change that state, how do they, what's the first thing that they need to do to break that?
Yeah. Being aware, first of all, I mean, being able to admit, that you're not in denial that it's happening. And you know, honestly, these repetitive cycles aren't that bad. I never, to myself, I never say, oh, here we go again, or how can you do that to yourself? It's actually, oh, I'm aware of that again. How cool. Do you want to do something about it this time, or do you want to do that again? Do you want to go around that roundabout again? Or so it does serve its purpose in a way. And usually it's our manner and way of keeping ourselves safe, right? But it's really not safe. It's really keeping ourselves to those patterns. So I would say, well, acknowledge yourself that you're becoming more aware of how you operate in this world and how you're wanting to choose to operate differently. And take little steps and celebrate those things. Our unconscious core beliefs are there really to keep us safe. And so if we were to kick all that, as you say, the legs out from under the chair, if we kick it out all of a sudden, we would be in a complete irregulated state. So my suggestion would be certainly to find someone that is in this field to help you navigate that. As uncomplicated as possible. Like having fun is not complicated. Or I just remind myself of when I was a child and learning was a fun thing to do. And then somewhere during my schooling, it was no longer fun because I don't think we were really learning. We were regurgitating, right? And even today, there are things that we regurgitate and we go, oh, hang on, do I really believe that? Is that really true for me? So asking yourself really good questions and then going from there with finding perhaps somebody or a group. I'm in a couple online groups with women and we share those things that are challenging us and those things that we're feeling victory in. So yeah, for years I was doing some work on my own and not really understanding. And now I connected with you, of course, and we did some work together. And I think it's really important to have somebody outside of yourself to reflect those parts of your journey with, not relying on them, but certainly having a reflection. I wrote something the other day that really I'm going to keep on absorbing, and that is that we're mirrors to each other. You know, that the things that you learn and share in this moment, and that I learn and share in the moments that we're moving forwards, they may not drop right now, but in a week's time or a month's time or a year's time, even as mums, like this happens for your kids, my kids will go, they'll say something, oh, da 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 da. And you're like, oh, I think I said that to them a few weeks ago. You know, it kind of drops in when it's ready to drop in. So
Absolutely.
being mirrors to each other and sharing our own discoveries and wisdom as we go is really, really important. So it's not a formula. And just being present to yourself and recognizing those moments of wisdom to yourself and then sharing them and reflecting them outwards, whether somebody else understands or not, it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So the back to the suicidality, part of our questionnaires last night was about how do you ask somebody if they're thinking about suicide? And you just ask, like you asked me today about how do you explore your fantasy? Is you ask the question, are you considering that? And how would you do that? Have you considered the plan? And if they answer, then you sit with that and not react to that. And it can be very uncomfortable on any of these topics that have been taboo, is to be comfortable with it and go, I'm here for you. I had a little card to hand them with the hotlines and people that they can reach out to for help. So having resources in the same way when we talk about researching our own fantasies is have some resources available. Who could you talk to about that? Where could you go to be supported in that journey? Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. And I think sometimes the more we're silent and suppressing this, then asking the question feels so super daunting, and we overthink it, and then it becomes so much bigger than what it actually is. And once we do it, it's like, oh, well, that wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be.
It's funny, I was in a group of women quite a few years ago, and we were having a discussion and about women's pleasure and intimacy. And I brought a question up, and I had a lady sitting next to me, and she was tapping my knee. "There, there, Shelley." And I'm thinking, is she trying to dampen down that? Yeah, B, people will try and dampen down your curiosity about these things, about these topics that our society is still grappling with. And yet they're so obvious in our faces that we need to talk about them. So I would say, be aware that people will try and quieten you down and dampen you down, but it's okay. You can talk about it. If that person doesn't want to talk, give them some grace and say, okay, and find somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do tend to bring the topics up is in as many places as I can. Whether it's suicide or whether it's intimacy, whether it's exploration, whether it's relationships, that they're really important to talk about.
For sure. I agree. Before we wrap up, I would love to ask you, how do you describe love? How do you feel love? How do you give love? What does it mean to you?
Yes, thank you for that question. I looked up the meaning actually not that long ago, the meaning according to the definition, a dictionary. And then I explored it a bit more because I was going through a breakup at the time. And I remember thinking to myself, and I said it out loud, that the relationship was ending because love wasn't enough. Like somebody can adore you and love you and want you and desire you and give to you and take and, but it just wasn't enough, right? And I wanted to figure out why that was so. And again, I think it comes back to this ultimate question that we're asking ourselves is, my trajectory was different. My exploration, my imagination, my mindset, my way of shifting and adjusting and growing and living on the edges of things and exploring things, that the type of love that was in that relationship wasn't enough. It wasn't going to hold. It was lovely and it was nice. And some days it was a little bit smothering, and other days it was just right on. So the ebbs and flows of love, it's not a fixed thing. In the same way that your presence today to your person or your children, and my presence to my children and the things that I'm doing, it shifts and changes. So I think that perhaps love has been, there's been a wanting to conform it to a certain definition. Ultimately, I come back to presence and that human to human, or whether it's multiple humans, being able to sit with self and each other in a space of integrity, of vulnerability, of okayness. That's where I'm at with love. And
That's
I love
beautiful.
love, and I love seeing that the dynamics of love is not in a box.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like relationships aren't, right?
And the reasons why people get into those thought patterns, as we said before, for not wanting to be in this world anymore. Who can put that in a box? Who can really say, this is the one reason why people don't want to be here anymore? This is the one reason why people want to be loved and be in a relationship. There's no one reason. And that's why it's worthy of exploration. I mean, we're constantly
Absolutely.
exploring for new resources in the ground.
Yeah,
We're
for
human.
sure.
That's what we're here for, is to explore and expand. And yeah, it's the joy of being here.
It is, absolutely. Thank you, Shelley. I have absolutely loved this conversation with you. Is there anything else that you would love for people to know? anything you've
Ultimately is to
discussed.
know yourself. Like, give yourself the energy, the time, the effort, the joy, the experience of yourself. Because in this world today, it feels like that honoring of self has been stolen because of the demands of the world out there. And what I've discovered is that when I give myself that space and time, my schedule, my routines are never, they never are at a disadvantage. You know, I don't miss an appointment. I'm always on time or early. So when I give myself that first space and time, everything else kind of falls into place. Yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Thank you so much, Shelley. I really appreciate your time and your wisdom and your love.
Thank you.
And yeah, thanks for
Love
your
you too.
time.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this epic conversation. I'm Renee Main, and I am over and out for now.